This is a problem that's unlike most other problems in citrus because there are two phases of the life cycle here. You've got the above ground adults that are feeding on the leaves and laying their eggs on the leaves. And then those eggs, when they hatch, the larvae drop to the soil and feed on the roots. And so if you're able to manage the adults well enough to reduce the population level, you have to remember that they're constantly, all year long, coming back up out of the soil to replace those ones that you've killed. And there are very few things that you can use to kill the larvae in the soil. Today, the only real effective treatment for the insect in the soil is the use of entomopathogenic nematodes. There are some products that were formerly available that were very effective at killing these insects in the soil. But again, those nematodes were like a non-persistent pesticide. You put them in the soil, they killed most of the larvae, but the larvae are falling down into the soil all year long. So the trick is to break that life cycle on both ends, and it's a very difficult thing to do. In general, what's recommended if you have a serious problem with diaprepes is to use both nematode treatments for the soil phase and to use chemical treatments for the above ground phase, where essentially you look for that peak period of adult emergence. And when you see that, early in the spring from April to May, then after about 10 days, when they begin to lay eggs, you go ahead and do the first spray. And what's recommended and what's worked best in the past are treatments that were developed by Clay McCoy a number of years ago now, but a couple of treatments in the main shoot flush period during the summertime, that usually is just about the time that the emergence occurs, a couple of treatments about 4 weeks apart using an egg sterilant in that last treatment in order to prevent eggs from hatching and falling to the soil, that would be micromite in this case with oil, gave the best control of the adults and provided profitable control. So timing that with a couple of applications of nematodes in the spring and in the late summer would be a reasonable way to manage this. Unfortunately, with all of the cost attendant with managing the psyllids in the groves, there has been a real reduction in demand for the nematodes over the past few years. And so the nematode production has been discontinued. There is a strong possibility that by next year, if orders are made, rather than the company having to produce the product and try and sell it, and very often not selling enough of it, if they can get the prepaid orders, then they will make a product by next spring. And it looks like that's going to happen.
Has that been for a couple of years now, no nematodes available?
It's been for just 1 year. It's put a real hole in a program for somebody that's really got a bad problem because, as I said, there's really very little you can do once the larvae are in the soil other than treat with nematodes.
Any idea how much acreage is infested in Florida with diaprepes? Have any studies been done?
Yeah, but I would have to look that up for you as far as what was published about a decade ago, what the actual acreage was. The estimates were at that time that in Florida and some of the Caribbean areas where diaprepes is a problem, the monetary losses due to the weevil in citrus because of lost production and tree death and that sort of thing was averaging on the range of $75 to $100 million a year. The exact acreage I can't tell you, but it's in all parts of the state. If you're in any of the citrus industry, you can't go a few miles away from a diaprepes infestation.
How would you rate this as a problem? Does it come after greening and canker as the most serious problem in the state for citrus growers?
Well, certainly for some citrus growers, they tell you it's as important as those, and it ranks right up there just behind those, yeah, I would say. Diaprepes, in terms of its widespread nature, the fact that it can cause entire orchards to collapse in a very short period of time, some soils you probably just can't grow citrus because of diaprepes, yeah, it's got to be right up there.
What else have we missed?
Well, what I'm mostly interested in terms of diaprepes is the natural biological control that occurs in Florida. We mentioned that it's a regional problem. I think that one of the reasons that it tends to be a regional problem is that we have found over the years that in some soils there is a tremendous diversity and abundance of nematodes that kill diaprepes. On the Central Ridge, for example, there tend to be many more species. And if we bury larvae in the soil and look at mortality rates, we find that there's generally a difference between the amount of mortality on the Central Ridge and in the Flatwoods. And it's interesting because we measure this mortality over a period of about a week. We let the soil, the insect be in the ground for a week, and we see how many were killed by nematodes. And this can be as high as 70%, but it averages in the range of 30 to 40% on the central ridge. And in the flatwoods, I'd say maybe 5 to 10% lower than that. So the survival rate is just a little bit better in some soils than it is in the others. But if you project what's happened over that 1 week period over the actual amount of time that a larva has to reside in the soil, which is several months, so now you're talking maybe 12 to 16 weeks, then you end up with really major differences in the survivorship in these soils, even though, you know, initially it doesn't look like it's that big of a difference. So I think that that's probably one of the issues, that if we could understand exactly why the nematodes function better in some conditions than others, we might be able to, you know, change our soil conditions just a bit to take advantage of that.
I believe Diaprepes has been in the state since the 1960s.
That's correct. It probably brought in from the islands of probably Puerto Rico. I think it was first noticed in the Apopka area, which gave it its nickname, the Apopka weevil, and it spread gradually. It's one of the few diseases or pests in Florida that has merited having a task force developed in order to combat it. In the late mid-1990s, a number of growers were instrumental in getting a dedicated line of funding to coming down from Washington for about a decade. And that funding supported university and USDA and grower research efforts to combat this weevil. It ended when greening began.
I'm Ernie Neff. You're listening to Southeast AgNet.